sheriffs, city, and federal agents from all over the United States. And I did the invocation at the beginning, and the color guard came up and posted the colors. And at the end of this incredible time, it was 500 people on the Branson Bell that signed up for that. There were thousands of police officers here this week, Silver Dollar City, and all the many, many events that occurred. At the end, I was supposed to do the benediction. And so I started to walk up on the stage, and Colonel Ron Replogle, the Missouri Highway Patrol, said, "Come up, Pastor, and do the benediction." And he said, "There's something we want to give you." And in my office is the most beautiful framed picture that was created just for me. And I'm not bragging. I'm just so humbled. I almost started crying. I wanted to cry. They've done three of these pictures before for past colonels of the Highway Patrol, and they did one for me, and it's in my office. And so I was so proud of it. I asked Pastor Brian. I said, Saturday morning at Vacation Bible School, I came by and I said, "Look at this," and I showed it to him and how nice it was. And he saw it and he agreed. And then I asked him to help me put it on the wall, and it didn't have a hanger, and I couldn't. So this morning I came in church. And I walked in his office, and I said, "Pastor Brian, I want to show you something." And he came in, and he said, "Yeah, that's nice." He said, "You showed it to me Saturday, yesterday." I said, "Really?" So I'm getting at that age now where I'm showing you things every time I come in. So I'll show you that picture. So I came in tonight, and I walked in Pastor Brian's office, and I said, "Pastor Brian, I want to show you a picture." And he said, "Now, am I supposed to walk in there and look at it like it's the first time I've seen it?" And I said, "If you would, it'd make me feel better." So anyway, that just tells you what you're dealing with a pastor here. I'm in the slight stages of who am I and where am I, but I know God will help me. Amen. Will you pray for me, somebody? Praise God. I think you're serious, too. I was kind of joking. I'm so honored tonight to have my father in the faith and Dr. James Finn with us tonight. He is a great man of God, and I don't have to go through all of his accolades. I can tell you that we have been in cahoots or something, but he's been my brother-in-law for 60, how many years have you been married to my sister? 62 years. My goodness, I was a minus, let's see, what's 39 from 62? Anyway, a long time. And I always appreciate his ministry. Do you enjoy Dr. Finn when he comes? Amen? Amen. And I noticed my sister is not well this evening. She's not here. And so I'll talk to her about her dedication to the house of the Lord. I can do that. But I'm honored, and I really mean that, to have Dr. Finn. So, Tom, if you'll help Dr. Finn over here, right in the middle, if you'll move it there, this chair, please. We'll get it right where you want it. And you've got a mic on you. You want this down there? Okay. I just got the right guys. Look at those arms on those guys. My goodness gracious. Yeah, that's not light either. Dr. Finn, come on up and let me just say again how glad I am to have you here on Father's Day for me, let alone the church. Pastor, one of the great churches in New York for 25 years, three Bible colleges was the president of, and has, I don't know if it's 40 or how many times, been to Romania and Africa and all over the world preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. I've told you this so many times, but I'd love to tell the story again. If you go to Dixon, Missouri, I forget where Dr. Finn was born. He lived for a time in Detroit and in different places, but when he was in high school, he was in a little town called Dixon, and his uniform and shoes are in the showcase with all the trophies there, that he was the all-time high-point shooter when there was only two-point shooter, not three-point shots, when he was in high school, and had the opportunity to go to about a dozen Big 8 and Big 12 and Southeast Conference colleges to play basketball, and he chose to marry my sister and go into the ministry.
Yeah.
There's that good part. Isn't that good? I love my sister. I can't tell you how much. But would you welcome Dr. James Finn? Would you do that for me?
I need a couple of your, Pastor, you and a couple, three of your men to come pray. I'm fighting the same thing, I guess my wife is.
Would you just stand up and pray
for finding a little sickness here.
You preach all you want or as little as you want. Father God, in Jesus' name, pray with me. Stretch your hands this way. God, I pray
for an anointing and a strength and a healing to come over Dr. Finn right now. And God, I pray that you heal my sister Nancy at the same time. Holy Spirit, revigorate him, anoint him, and strengthen him. God, let him know your presence right now. God, you are the healer. He has prayed for tens of thousands. And so now, Lord, let that faithfulness come back to him in his own body. Strengthen him, anoint him, and heal him. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
That means it's done. It's done. Amen. Praise God. Amen.
I appreciate that. It's a vertical thing that keeps us dizzy. But we're so happy. What a marvelous, marvelous presence of the Holy Spirit. I feel so humbled and unworthy to be in the presence of the Holy Spirit. But he makes us worthy and he blesses us. And the minstrels were just marvelously pressing in. And the congregation was participating in it. You know, there's an Old Testament principle that says this: wise-hearted men make garments for the priest. And what that is really referring to is that the garments that were made for the priest were a type of the anointing. And every time that in contemporary interpretation, every time that you say amen or participate to whoever is leading in the worship, preaching, you put a lapel on somebody's garment. And there isn't a fool in this house. So there was wise-hearted men tonight that made garments of anointing. And Zerubbabel said it is not by might, nor by power, but it is by my spirit.
That's right.
Ooh.
Thank you.
I'm dizzy, but I'm dizzy for the Lord tonight.
Amen.
I'm going to preach a message that the Lord laid on my heart. And I want to say this before I begin. This afternoon, I laid down to rest for a few minutes, and the Holy Spirit began to mess with me. And you understand that terminology, I'm sure. And what a great church, by the way. And this happens quite often. I don't know why the Lord does me this way, but he said, get up, get your pencil and paper. And the Lord began to give me a prophetic word for this church.
Thank you, Jesus.
And I wrote it down, and I'm going to give it to you. And it's the same anointing that's upon this prophetic word than if it was just coming spontaneously.
Amen.
How many believe that?
Amen.
And I heard some tongues and interpretation tonight that you don't hear in Pentecostal churches very often anymore.
Yeah.
Sad.
Yeah.
It's sad. And I'm going to preach a message tonight. I told Pastor a few days ago I was going to preach this, and he said, I'm going to preach it for you. And I said, don't preach it. And he said, yeah, I'm preaching before you. I'm going to preach it, but I hope he hasn't. It'll be different and better. He's a great preacher. great preacher. His mama anointed him and told him exactly what to name him, Samuel. Wasn't coincidental. And if it meant an awful lot in Old Testament times, yeah. Names and numbers and so on and so forth. And great preacher of the gospel. Him and Ruth have been such a blessing to us. But I'm going to preach a message tonight entitled The Lost Coin of Pentecost. The Lost Coin of Pentecost. Turn to the 15th chapter of the book of Luke. And if I am slow tonight, I will try to not. I know your gluteus maximus can only take so much. I have to be aware of that. They used to tell me, pop a mint in your mouth. Well, I got mixed up one time and put a button in my mouth. And they had to remove me. But the 15th chapter of Luke's gospel, and I'm trusting in that prayer from the saints tonight. Amen. Now there's Jesus talked to his disciples and left us words of life in many ways, but two of them was with allegories and with parables.
Yeah.
And actually, an alligator is a story in which figures and actions are a symbol of genuine people and things. Parables are a single story illustrating a truth.
Yeah.
And so they are broken down in a way that we can understand them. But I've never preached this message before, and I've been in ministry many years. But I believe the Lord gave me some understanding and some things that I want to bring to your attention. So let's begin to read with this parable from the 15th chapter. Actually, the 15th chapter, Luke's got three parables about things that were lost. Parable of the lost sheep, parable of the prodigal son, and the parable of the lost coin. And we're going to see what the Lord might say to us tonight through these parables that Jesus spoke. Beginning with verse number 8, and I'm going slow because my head is spinning. You're still believing with me for a healing,
amen,
aren't you?
Amen.
Either what woman having 10 pieces of silver, if she lose one, doth not light a candle and sweep the house and seek diligently till she find it, and when she hath found it, she calleth her friends and her neighbors together, saying, rejoice with me, for I have found the piece which I lost. Now, I'm not going to read, but Kenneth Weiss is one of the greatest, although he is deceased, one of the greatest inspiration and interpretation of the New Testament is, and he's a Greek scholar, was a Greek scholar, and he doesn't use the words friends and neighbors. He uses the words her women. And I believe with all my heart that this woman that's depicted here by Jesus is a type of the church. just lay a little groundwork. But she's lost something.
Yeah.
I'm going to tell you tonight that the church was born in a blaze of glory.
Yeah. Come on.
Now, I'm not talking about any particular church, especially not this church. But I'm talking about something that I know a whole lot about because I was raised and born in the hot breath of revival of old time Pentecost.
Come on.
When there was tongues and interpretation that went forth like it went forth tonight. When men were so under conviction that before they could get to the altar, they fell in the middle of the aisle and was weeping their way through to an old-fashioned experience with a God. Whenever the men and women couldn't wait to get to the house of God. I can feel that spirit in this house, but that's not generally the rule in what we call Pentecost today. So I want to talk about the lost coin of Pentecost. And I want to bring a couple scriptures together that I had never seen until recently, and I want to just share something with you concerning what the Lord has laid upon my heart. In Haggai, the second chapter, actually there's only three books in the book of Haggai, they had just come back from the captivity in Babylon, and Haggai said in Haggai 2, he said to Zerubbabel, if you remember, Zerubbabel said, it is not by might, in other words, not by power, but it is by my spirit, saith the Lord.
Yes.
And Haggai spoke, the scripture says, and said to Zerubbabel and to the rest of the people, who is left of you among you that saw, hallelujah, that saw the house in her first glory? Listen at the question that was presented to those that had come back. And how do you see it now?
Come on.
Is it not in your eyes in comparison of it as nothing?
Well,
sometimes that's the prevailing thought in my mind concerning what's happened to this thing. And I'm proud to be called a Pentecostal. I'm proud to be called a tongue-talking, bench-jumping, chandelier-swinging, aisle-running, Holy Ghost-speaking, Bible-toting, go to church. Hallelujah. I'm proud of it, are you?
Amen.
I feel that kind of a spirit in this house tonight. I'm glad I can be in a place where the music director can go a different direction that's laid out.
Amen.
And we need a plan, and I'm not against organization, but I'm so glad that when there's people that are led by the Holy Spirit,
yes.
And the pastor is so in touch with what God's doing in this hour. Now I'm about to be messed with the Holy Ghost right now. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That the pastor is so anointed of the Holy Ghost that he can just jump right in. And he can jump right in and encourage the people. You hear a message in tongues. You hear somebody shout hallelujah. You hear somebody say amen. You hear somebody, see somebody raise their hands. My God, that gives me something in my spirit that though I've had a stroke and that I have a hard time getting around sometimes, it just gives me something in my spirit that I can walk a little bit and shout a little bit and say amen a little bit. But Pentecost, I believe this story depicts the idea that something has been lost in this woman's house.
Yes.
And this woman, I believe with all my heart, is a type. Now, I've taught
in many Bible schools. I've taught gematria. I've taught which is a reckoning of numbers, and I've taught types and shadows and so on and so forth. I am totally convinced that this woman is a type of the church. And I believe it is a type of what we've lost in old-fashioned Pentecost.
Yes.
Because if you go to the book of Acts, the second chapter, and when they thought they was all drunk, Peter stood up and said, "These men are not drunk as you supposed, but this is that was prophesied by the prophet Joel. I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters are going to prophesy. Your old men are going to dream dreams."
Yes.
Oh, I dream a lot of dreams, so I guess that tells you what I am. Young men are going to see vision. Hallelujah. And glory to God. Peter's shadow was overshadowing sick people, and his getting healed. There was miracles going on. The church was birthed in a blaze of glory. Hallelujah. They was getting saved, and they was getting set free, and they was absolutely having the time of their life, because God was pouring out of his spirit in all kinds of power and anointing. Hallelujah. And the same spirit that you feel here tonight, I believe that felt on the day of Pentecost. It was birthed in a blaze of glory. But somewhere, Pentecost has lost her coin. I'm not talking about every church, and certainly not this one, but I'm talking about Pentecost as a whole. We're ashamed to call ourselves Pentecostals. Ashamed. Oh, my. Give me just a minute. Hallelujah. It's always a good sign when the pastor sits by his wife. Now, I want to call your attention, if you'll allow me to preach, teach for just a moment. Hallelujah. First of all, if we lost something, we need to find it.
Yes.
Especially when it's valuable.
Amen.
And there's nothing any more valuable than an old-fashioned, born-again, Holy Ghost experience with God.
Amen.
Hallelujah. It'll make you love your neighbor. Hallelujah. It'll make you get in church. It'll make you say amen when you don't feel like it. It'll make you pay your tithes. It'll make you say good things about your neighbor. It'll make you a new man. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Old things are passed away, and behold, all things are new. Brother, it's just not an emotional experience, but an old-fashioned Holy Ghost Pentecostal experience in God. It'll change your life completely, and you'll start walking right, talking right, and spitting white, brother.
Well.
Hallelujah. Glory. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus.
I've seen 10,000 people saved in New York. Scared to death of New York, but never been there. God sent me there and built a church and seen 10,000 people saved in 25 years. And I'm going to tell you something. They'd never heard of Pentecost where I was at, but whenever we got there, we began to see the power of God begin to move people, healed and saved in the spirit, like in this place. I tell you, if I'd have shut my eyes to that, I'd have thought I was in Catskill, New York. Hallelujah. Oh, you've got a great church here, but let me tell you something. Pentecost has lost something. And of those three things that were lost in the 15th chapter of the book of Acts, only one of them was lost in the house. Lost in the house. Now, you know what? To be lost in the house is sad.
Yeah.
Because we have a great, great heritage.
Yes. Yes.
And that heritage is a heritage of power, an anointing, that shakes communities, that sets us apart from others. Hallelujah. A lot of good Christians, a lot of good fundamentalist men and women that are living for God, but there's something about a Holy Ghost, Spirit-filled Pentecostal church that's on fire for God that hasn't lost the power.
Amen.
Now, the first thing that happened when she lost something, what did she have to do? The Bible said, and let me tell you why it was lost. The reason she lost the coin is the house was dark. How do you know? Because she had light a candle. The second reason the coin was lost is because the house was dirty. How do you know, preacher? Because she had to sweep it. But let me tell you something. She had to light a candle, but they didn't have matches then. And then you know what she had to do? I have confided in many scholars, rabbis, and if they lost their light and their candle went out, you know what they had to do? They had to take their candle to the temple and go to the fire. The fire. The fire that was on the altar and light their candle. Brother, I want to tell you something. You can't light your candle with intellect.
Yes.
Did you hear me? You can't light your candle with somebody's idea. You can't light your candle with programs and rituals. But you got to light your candle with fire from off the altar. Fire from off the altar. And let me explain something else to you. There's only one thing that reveals the serpent, and that's the fire. And there's only one thing that destroys the serpent, and that's the fire. Ask Paul. He was building a fire when he was shipwrecked, and he reached in there, and he got a hold of a serpent, and that fire revealed the serpent. But when the serpent got a hold of him, he shook it off in the fire. Don't ever forget it. There's only one thing that reveals the serpent, and that's the fire. And only one thing that'll deal with the serpent, and that's the fire. So we need the fire of the Holy Ghost like we never needed it before. We've lost the fire of power and anointing and the Holy Spirit in our services, and we need that fire one more time. My God, I'm about to get excited here. I believe I can shoot a three-pointer tonight. I believe I can hit a hook shot tonight, Coach. I believe that they couldn't stop me tonight. I'll tell you what, there's something stirring in my spirit in this song service tonight that said that's a touch of something that's found in this house that's been lost in Pentecost, and don't you let it go, because God will take it and multiply it and turn this city upside down and turn this city to Him.
Yes. Yes. Whew. Thank you, Jesus.
I don't know how I'd do if I wasn't dizzy. But then she had to sweep it. In this word sweep, now I'm not a Greek scholar, but I am a serious, serious Greek student. And the word sweep here in the Greek literally means to scrape the filth off the floor. Whoa! To be able to find the coin that's lost, to be able to find the power that Pentecost once had, we got to scrape some of the filth.
Yeah.
Come on now.
Yeah.
I'm preaching better than you're letting on. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm not going to pull no punches tonight. We've got a bunch of pansies that call themselves Pentecost. They won't let you speak in tongues. They won't let you shout. They won't let you run the aisles. They won't let you lay your hands on the sick. But I'm here to tell you that the fire of the Holy Ghost will put you to doing things. The anointing of the Holy Ghost will break the yoke and set you free.
Amen.
Hallelujah! My God, Lydia, you're not going to be embarrassed, are you? Okay. I got a girl from my church in New York here tonight. Her and her husband. Hallelujah. She was pretty little when she used to hear me preach, but she know that I used to get a little excited. And a little, but you got to have a broom. Hallelujah. Got to have a broom. I brought a broom tonight. I want you to notice the broom. First of all, it's got a straight handle. I'm going to call this the pastor. Got to have straight pastors. Got to have pastors that want the fire. Got to have pastors that want to find the lost coin of Pentecost. Are you hearing me? Got to have straight pastors. The Bible says there's a woman that came into the temple that was bent over. It's crooked. And Jesus came in and he said, "Woman, be thou loosed." And the Bible said she straightened up. We need some men that are in the house of God that call themselves pastor to hear a message from heaven that says straighten up. Get a hold of what you lost. Preach what you used to preach. Stand for what you used to stand for. And don't let the devil try to take it away from you. And don't let a modern religious system keep you from preaching the truth. Now, I'm going to shock you just a little bit. Whenever Jesus spoke to that woman and said, "Be thou loosed," he used a Greek word that was translated loosed. But the only other time that it's used in the New Testament, it's used, "Be thou divorced." And so in giving a spiritual connotation to that phrase, he was saying to that woman, "Be set free from that thing that has held you in bondage." And that thing that you made a commitment to, come on now, but we have made a commitment to doctrines and programs and the thing that seemingly will cause more people to come in to our church. Seeker friendly, I think they call it. Oh, I got a doctorate of divinity. I can blow you away with spiritual jargon. I can speak words and talk, but I'm preaching old-fashioned Pentecost tonight.
Come on now.
I'm talking about Pentecostals, lost coin.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. So let's look at the broom. Got to have a straight pastor.
Yeah.
This is a pastor. I thank God for my brother-in-law. I thank God for this couple that God has set.
Amen.
In your midst. And I'm going to go a couple steps further, although I don't know exactly who all the leadership is. I thank God for the leadership in this house.
Amen.
And I thank God for some of you that are willing to pay the price to let the Holy Spirit have its way, no matter what happens and no matter what people think. If the Holy Ghost says it, we're going to do it. Hallelujah. If the Holy Ghost says we're going to sing another song, let's sing another song. Because we're going to glorify and edify and lift up the body of Christ. And people are going to be blessed. Burdens are going to be lifted. And yes, people are going to be set free.
Come on. Yeah.
If we lost something of value, we're going to look for something of value, ain't we?
Amen.
Can somebody say amen?
Amen.
So the first thing we got to do, we got to go to the altar and get fire off the altar. Second thing we got to do, we got to take the broom and we got to sweep. And sweep, as I told you, is a Greek word that means scrape up the filth that's on the floor. And I'm going to be just as plain as I can be. We have got a lot of filth, rotten stuff that's being perpetrated and called Pentecost, that is not the true anointing of the Holy Spirit of God. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
My dad told me one time, I'm a preacher's kid. My dad told me one time, he said, son, good preaching ought to make them shouting mad or fighting glad.
Well,
or fighting, or shouting. Oops, I got it backwards. Fighting mad or shouting glad. That's what good preacher ought to do. I don't intend to make anybody mad tonight, but I'm telling you that Pentecost has lost a coin.
Amen.
And I think it's time for those that have lost it to get the broom out and start sweeping away the filth.
Yeah.
And I want to read you something that from the Word of God, and it has to do with let me get my glasses here. It's from Matthew 15, and it says this, and this is so depictive of what Pentecost has lost. You deprive the world. This is the translation from Kenneth Weiss. Great, great. And he's more accurate. Most Bible scholars agree he's more accurate in his translations than any of the translators. You deprive the word of God of its force and authority because of your precepts and traditions. Which were handed down to you from your fathers.
Yeah.
You're actors on the stage of life. Whoa. Whoa. Man, I could preach on that all night. Actors. Brother, I'm tired of talent being called anointing. Talent can be anointed, but most of our Pentecostal people in this hour don't know the difference between the anointed and talent.
Yes.
Acting. You're actors. This is what the Word of God says. On the stage of life, that you're playing a role which Isaiah prophesied concerning you, saying, worship me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me in a distance. But in vain are they worshiping me, teaching precepts by natural commandments of mankind.
Amen. Amen.
That don't make you dizzy. It's made me dizzy right now. That's what we've lost. We lost something. And the Bible says in Hebrews that there is a more excellent ministry.
Yes.
Build up on better promises. My. And Hebrews, that's in Hebrews 6. And it talks about this more excellent ministry. And the day of Pentecost, a more excellent ministry was introduced. And when that more excellent ministry was introduced, he said he's going to pour that out on his sons and his daughters.
Yeah.
And your old men would get in on it. Woo-wee, I'm glad I'm going to get in on it. And your young men would get in on it. Hallelujah. And it was going to be a power, and it turned out to be a powerful thing. Hallelujah. And a more excellent ministry was birthed.
Yeah.
See, Jesus made a statement that shakes me to the very core. My finite intellect cannot grasp it to this day, Pastor. He said, the works that I do, ye shall do also.
Amen.
And even greater works. This is the more excellent ministry. My. And that more excellent ministry is a ministry that operates under the anointing of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
It operates under a powerful, powerful direction of the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
And that ministry is being suppressed in this day. And there's walls being built around it.
Amen.
And I want to read you a verse of scripture from Genesis 49, 22. And it says, Joseph is a fruitful bough. We know what a bough is. It's a vine,
right,
or a branch. Joseph is a fruitful bough by a wall, whose branches run over the wall.
Yes.
Now, I want to tell you something. There's only two kinds of vines. There's a crawling vine, and there's a climbing vine. And that climbing vine is a marvelous thing. But you can take the crawling vine and you can say, climb. You can prop it up. Nail it up. Push it up. Come back in a few days and it's still crawling. It's a creeping vine. And creeps are wearing pastors out in this day.
Well,
are you hearing me? About the time we prop them up and try to lift them up. But Joseph said, the Word of God said that Joseph was a vine that his boughs went over the wall. Now there's only, the Bible only gives us, as far as I can find, only five times in the Bible does it talk about somebody getting over a wall. First time, old Daniel, he rolled on the wall. Some of us need to write some things on little sticky things and put up next to the throne and next to the refrigerator and say that we are more than conquerors through Christ that loved us, that we can do all things through Christ that loved us, and that we need to put something on there that says the power of the Holy Ghost is still alive and well in this town, in your town, and in our lives. So Daniel wrote on the wall. The next one that got over a wall was Ezekiel, and he had to dig through a wall. I'm here to tell you the Holy Ghost to help you dig through a wall, brother. Whenever it looks like you're in a get over a wall, the Holy Ghost will help you dig through a wall.
Yeah.
The third one was Joel's army. It clumb over the wall.
Amen.
Hallelujah. The next one, the Bible said David got so happy that he jumped over the wall.
Yeah.
Woo! Hallelujah. I can't jump much anymore. I used to not even be able to jump when I could score. I could score. That's why I didn't go on to college, because I knew that them big old boys would outjump me. But I tell you what, David got so happy, and I believe Pastor Sam's about to jump this morning, tonight, over the wall. And then the last one, old Joshua said, I don't have the strength to jump. I don't have the strength to dig. But he said, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to shout my wall down. And I want to tell you, when Pentecostal finds that lost coin that she's lost, she'll start to shout her joy, her walls down. She'll shout for joy, and she'll shout in the midst of the service, because there's something about a shout that it scares and terrifies the devil. Hallelujah. Now, I'm going to take you to another parable, and I'm going to be through. I intended to preach a lot longer tonight, but I can hear my wife say as I left out the house, don't keep them all night. And she said, if you don't keep them all night, I might have some chicken and dumplings waiting for you. But the Bible says a certain man went down from Jericho, or from Jerusalem to Jericho, and he fell among thieves. And I've never heard anybody tie these two parables together. I've heard thousands of messages in my life, being a preacher's kid. But on the way down, he got beat up. And this, I've questioned and I've prayed and I've felt like that many years ago the Lord gave me an interpretation of this parable. This man was a type of the human race that got stripped of his authority and got stripped of all that God wanted him to have. You see, Romans 8:1 says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh but after the Spirit. For the Spirit of the law of life in Christ Jesus made me free from the law of sin and death. See, there's, for what the law could not do, in that it is weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sin in the flesh, condemn sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in me. But let's go back to the first verse there. There is therefore now no condemnation. The word condemnation in Greek is the word katakrima. You know what the word katakrima means? There is no warrants out for my arrest. No spiritual warrants. The devil hasn't signed no warrants for your arrest, because Jesus paid your fine. Hallelujah. And so this man was stripped. And guess who came by? The Levi came by. But he couldn't do anything for him, because he was official of the law. And the law was no worse, was no better than the man being stripped. The next person that came by was the one that was in charge of the blood sacrifices. And the blood of bulls and goats couldn't help him. But then another one, the Bible says, the Good Samaritan came where he was.
Well.
How many know who that sounds like?
Yeah.
And he bound up his wounds, put him up on his animal, and carried him up to the inn. And gave the inn keeper, which is a type of the pastor, the inn being a type of the church,
come on,
get an innkeeper 2 coins. Hold on now. I'll show you something. The Bible says that one day is of the Lord is 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. Give him 2 coins for the next 2,000 years. And he said, "Woo! I'm about to get happy now." And then he said, "If you need anything else, I'll give it to you." I believe with all my heart these two parables are together. He needed something else to be taken care of in this last day when the devil's on the rampage. How many are beginning to see where it comes together? But it had been lost. And so the woman or the church had to find it. It was imperative that she find what was lost. Hallelujah. The Bible says, if you remember right, that we have tread upon serpents and upon scorpions. Did you know that the word scorpions and serpents, let me tell you what the word scorpions in Greek is, scopes. Let me tell you what the word serpents is, opes. Look it up. Don't take my word. You know the word scopes and the word opes is where we get our words ophthalmologist, and we get our word telescope. So what Jesus is really saying, I give you power over the enemy to see. To see. Don't look at me that way. So we've got to be able to see. And to be able to see, we've got to light our candle on the fire of the altar. Woo, my God, I wish I didn't have this old arthritis. I ain't got the rightest boys living with me, Arthur and Bruce and them guys. But I've had this stroke. The devil's been trying to keep me down, tried to put affliction on me. But I feel your healing power of your prayers right now. Amen. And in that, it is imperative that the lost coin of Pentecost be found. Yes. Because Jesus said, if what I haven't given you is not enough for 2,000 years, we're entering now into the 3,000 years. And God got something that's been lost, but it's going to be found. And when it's found, not only the neighbor next door, but all of her friends is going to rejoice. Yeah. The whole world is going to shout when Pentecost gets back the lost coin that she lost. Yeah. When she gets back her tongues and interpretation. She gets back her prophetic word. When she gets back her hallelujah and love your neighbors yourself. And when she gets back being led by the Spirit. When she gets back laying on her hands and the Holy Ghost falling and people falling in the aisles speaking in tongues and laying under the power. Well, I tell you, we come to an hour that God's going to release somebody that's so hungry and so desperate that they're going to scrape up the floor, the filth, and they're going to use their broom and light a candle on the altar of the fire of the Holy Ghost and see God reveal to them what they lost. Hallelujah. Can somebody say shout or shout amen?
Amen.
How many believe we're on our way back? How many is ready to find what Pentecost has lost? You know what? I'm just going to tell you, I don't play games. I walk with God with too much integrity to just say something to you, to appease you. But you are so close in this place to finding. I'll tell you, there's some of you women. I need a, want some woman to come up here real quick. It's good with the room. Let me see you get over there and just sweep up a storm. Oh, my. Look at her. Look at her. Look at her. My Lord, there's a whole bunch of people in this place that's got their Holy Ghost broom out, and they're starting to sweep. And hallelujah. And whoop, whoop, whoop. Well, there it is. There it is. Now shout. Oh, hallelujah. Shout to your neighbor over there. I found it. I found it. Everybody in this place shout, I found it. I found it. I found it. I found it. Hallelujah. I found it. It's mine. Thank you, hon. You know she can handle a broom like that, son? Now I know, and I really was intended to bring in some more, but I'm restrained of the Holy Spirit and my little weakness, but I'm going to read you. Now I know why the Lord gave me this prophecy. I went to take a nap this afternoon, and he does this quite often. Usually it's in the midnight hour. They'll give me a prophetic prophecy, a prophetic word, and I used to do this at my church. I'd write it down, and I'd say, Lord, why don't you just give it to me during a service? And the Lord's never to give me an answer, but I'd never question him either. But I laid down, the Lord said, Holy Spirit, begin to mess with me this afternoon. And I was trying to lay down and get enough strength. Man, I'm going to preach him good in the night, because it's, how many know when something's stirring in you? I thought, boy, I may have bombed out every other time I was ever at this place, but I'm going to preach a good in the night, because I could feel it in my spirit. And the Holy Ghost just woke me up and said, I want you to write this down. And it began to flow. And if you'd have been there, it'll have the same effect if you let it tonight. This is for this church. This church, listen. This night, O house of God, is a jubilee unto thee. I will do for thee this night what thou cannot ever do thyself. My hands were trembling as I wrote this. I know this man and woman that your leader, I know the spirit that's in this place. I know the integrity and the honesty. And I know that you've found something that Pentecost has lost. Hold on to it. I may never preach another message to you. I may be in a grave when it happens, but it's going to happen. I will dissolve bondages. Bodies will be healed. Minds will be restored. I will say unto thee, not only is the door open, but the walls are knocked flat. Celebrate. Rejoice. And exalt the victory that I have already won for thee. Say no longer, one day I shall do this. Settle it and settle it this night. Hallelujah. Satan is under your feet and defeated. This night, shout with a resounding shout. Demons are trembling. They've heard about you and are encamped. You are encamped at the door of your city, and the walls are coming down. So shout and shout to the Lord. Amen. I wonder if we could have a shout. I mean a shout. I mean a shout. I mean a jarring shout. Hallelujah. We found what was lost. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. My God in heaven. Hallelujah. Woo, hallelujah. Let me have this thing a minute. Hallelujah. If you ain't going to run, I'm going to run a little bit. Woo, hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. Somebody's sweeping the floor. Somebody's lighting the fire. Somebody's getting hungry. Somebody's wanting to see God move. Somebody's going to, and the anointing is here. Somebody wants the anointing more than they want applause. Then the Holy Spirit told me to do one other thing. And usually when you hear a preacher say that, people say, he's taking an offering. But I'm not taking an offering. Tom, bring ma'am up to me. The Holy Spirit said, if you're really serious, let me know that Jesus spit in the clay.
Yeah.
He'd have been condemned for that. How many of the Paul put handkerchiefs and aprons and handkerchiefs and sent them out to people? I've got some coins here. And I prayed over them. And every one of them represent something that's been lost in your life.
Amen.
And I want you, if you really believe that God is restoring to you and restoring to this church what Pentecost has lost, I want you to come running up here and get one of these, and I want you to put it in your pocket. Tom, you come up here and help. Hallelujah. Get you a coin. It's a representative of the lost coin that you found. Woo! Hallelujah. 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 Flying all over the place. Take all you want. Hallelujah. People's, my God, people's finding the lost coin. They're finding the lost coin. Hallelujah. 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 Yea, and the Lord would say unto thee, the Lord would say unto thee, that thy eyes have beheld many things, and thy heart has even longed for greater things. And the Lord will not allow thee to see the grave until thou see his glory, saith the Lord God Almighty. Hallelujah. 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 Glory to God. Tom, where you at? Are you helping? You got more. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm sorry. Glory. Come on, keep shouting. I'm just going to put them out here on the pulpit and pick them up.
Thank you.
Just pick them up, sis. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. People's finding a lost coin tonight. Hallelujah. Symbolic. Hallelujah. Pastor, I declare, I want to do one other thing. Everybody got their coin? It's only a penny, but it represents what's been lost.
Yes.
And it's going to make a difference. I feel to just reiterate one thing that this prophetic word spoke to me. Hallelujah. Say no longer, one day I shall settle this. Settle it and settle it tonight.
Yes. Amen.
How many can say to me, if the Lord moves on me to shout, I'm going to shout.
Amen.
If the Lord moves on me to give a word in prophecy, I'm going to give a word in prophecy.
Yes.
If the Lord moves on me to give an utterance in prophecy, I'm going to give an utterance.
Amen.
Somebody says, well, Pastor, if the Lord moves on me, I'll dance. No, you don't understand. You dance for the Lord. You don't have to move on you. David danced before the Lord with all his might.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. You move. When the Holy Ghost starts to move you, there's an anointing in this house, and it supersedes into any intellect, any traditions. It supersedes anything you've been taught in the past, any walls that engulfed you, because you're going to jump those walls. Because tonight, the lost coin of Pentecost is going to be prevalent. In the sanctuary of hope. And if you look at this old man's grave one day, you say, he said it, and it came to pass. If you believe it, shout amen tonight.
Amen.
Hallelujah. God bless you. I appreciate it so much. We got some coins left.
Leave them here.
Yeah, we're going to leave them here.
Let me have
Hallelujah.
Amen.